Today's episode is our weekly review of what's been going on in the food truck industry all around the country. And I also have a little bit of an interesting tidbit to toss in at the end on the psychological effect of how you stage your photographs for your food. And I'll give you the best way to show off your food. Welcome to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. My name is Bill Moore. I am a food truck business coach, author of 5 food truck vending books, including Food Truck 101 and Food Truck 201. This podcast is all about helping you start and grow your food truck business. If you're like most food truck owners, dreaming up the perfect menu was part of the fun. Mains, sides, drinks, and so many options. But then you had to figure out menu pricing. And then suddenly your confidence and excitement is gone. If that's you, then our friends at Table Needs have just what you need, a simple, straightforward menu pricing calculator. Try it out for free today. The link will be in the description below. So before we jump into the news, I want to remind you guys that on July 29th and 30th in Houston, Texas, I'm going to be a part of a Food Truck Owners Expo. There's going to be a whole bunch of exhibitions and different vendors there, all talking about the food truck industry. I'm going to be there giving a couple of different classes and holding campfire chats that are going to be a little bit more informal. You guys can just sit down and talk to me and ask questions. And if you're not asking questions, I'm going to be just talking about different things that pertain to our industry. So please, if you have the opportunity, join me in Houston, Texas again, July 29th and 30th. So let's review what's been going on in the food truck industry the last week. In Christian Pass, Mississippi, they're making changes to their biggest annual event, and it's not a good change for food truck owners. What they're going to do is ban food trucks from operating on the day of a parade that they have. And again, it's the biggest annual event. It's the St. Paul's Carnival Association Parade. Now, the reasoning behind this is tens of thousands of people flocked to see the 16 food trucks that were set up at the start of the parade route in the years gone by, and it created an impromptu and crowded after-party scene. The mayor was worried that there's going to be negative consequences because there's going to be so many animated people. And what he means to say is there's probably going to be a whole bunch of drunk people there causing trouble. So be aware of your surroundings whenever you're going to any kind of an event, especially one that's not being organized by, like, the parade, for instance. So if a bunch of food trucks gather at the beginning of the parade route or at the end of the parade route, there's going to be a whole bunch of people swarm in, keep the food trucks busy, but then it also creates what could be a negative situation for the city. And in this case, the people in the city decided that setup couldn't be allowed. So now 16 food trucks have lost the opportunity to have a really, really good sales day because they weren't being careful about what they were doing when they would set up. They just looked at it. It's a bunch of people. I'm going to get them here. And there may not have been the logistics necessary to have enough space for all the people that would be there, to have parking, to have ways for people to get through that had no interest in the food trucks that were trying to get from the end of the parade to wherever their vehicle may have been parked. Or a bunch of parents picking up the kids at the end of the parade route. So it creates all kinds of issues. So be thinking about the logistics. What's going to be happening when I set up here? And that way you won't find yourself just being banned or getting the entire group of food trucks being banned from something that could be a whole bunch of money and really needs to be there. In Orlando, Florida, city leaders halted efforts to potentially restrict where food trucks can operate after business owners, and that being the food truck owners, raised concerns about the proposal's motives. The proposal would have required food truck owners to obtain additional permits like a master plan or a conditional use permit in areas where multiple food trucks operate. It was also proposed creating new zoning classifications that would cost owners up to $2,000 and would result in even more fees. There were a couple of different food truck owners that attended some of these meetings with the city leaders, and they expressed strong concerns about the proposals. So they were able to get in there before it ever went to a vote. Once stuff goes to a vote, it becomes much more difficult to get things changed. So you got to always have your ear to the ground and pay attention to what's going on in your local city as far as it pertains to your business. That's being a part of your community. So what the board there in Orlando decided to do was kind of postpone things until at least late in April, so they could gather more feedback from food truck owners. That's a good thing. The officials there in Orlando understand that food trucks are a vital part of their economics in the city of Orlando. Again, this wouldn't have happened if the food truck owners hadn't been paying attention and going, hey, wait a minute, you're creating obstacles for everybody and no one benefits when there's obstacles thrown at businesses from government. Hothead Burritos. That's a fast casual restaurant chain. They've got about 80 locations. They decided they were going to launch a food truck in Dayton, Ohio. So now you have yet another brick and mortar company getting into the food truck space. They're going to create more competition. You go to a food truck, you get interaction. You get an owner that's happy to see the guest, that can't wait to take the order and get the food made because they know now they've got a little bit more money coming into the cash register. They appreciate that interaction. So the brick and mortars are taking notice of what we're doing as an industry and going, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. Now, what we got to do is show that our stuff's way better than theirs. We give better service so we can push out these brick and mortar interlopers and get them back into their brick and mortars and leave us the heck alone. The city of Nederland announced updates to the regulations for food trucks. According to city officials, effective March 1, so a couple of weeks ago, there's going to be two types of permits, one for special events and then an annual permit that would allow the food truck owners to operate within city limits. Fairly common. You either have an annual permit or you get temporary permits. Nothing different about that. Under the special events, food truck owners are allowed one permit per month, and it's only a one-day permit for a maximum of 12 a year. The owners must tie in with some local business special event, and the permit is $50 per event. Now, $50 doesn't sound like a lot, but you only get 12 of them, so that's not a whole lot of opportunities to operate. But there are some part-time folks that's perfect, so they're able to operate when they want, but they're only able to operate one day a month. But again, part-time people, some of those folks would love that opportunity to be able to set up. For annual food truck permits, 8 permits will be issued, and that's it. And they're available to all food truck owners who also run a brick and mortar or have a residence within the city boundaries. And that fee is $500. Now we got a problem. No city, no county, no state should be able to pick and choose who's going to win, who's going to lose when it comes to the economics. If they want to limit the number of permits, it's a real simple way to do it. You don't just say there's only 8 and that's all you get. It's supply and demand. If there is a whole bunch of people that want into that particular city because they see that as a lucrative place to be, the city officials should raise the cost of the permits. What that does is it helps to filter out the part-time people, the people that aren't really serious about being in that city and setting up. And then the ones that are willing to pay the higher fee are the ones that are committed to being in that city frequently and frequently enough to help the city grow. So it becomes a win-win for everybody. There is zero reason for a city to go, whoop, well, there's only going to be 8. Because 7 of those 8 just might pick up the license to be there once a month, twice a month. And then the other days are off somewhere else. It makes no sense to limit it. What makes sense is to increase the price to make sure the people are serious about if they're going to pay that price, they're going to be there a bunch. So they can make their money back on having spent that kind of money to get the license in the first place. The Better Business Bureau in Springfield, Missouri is warning about scammers posting as a point of contact for different events. And of course, the goal is to get people to send them off the $50 or $100. And of course, once the scammers got 3 or 4 of those, they disappear and move on to some other area. What you got to understand is anytime that you are directly contacted, hey, I've got an event. I would love to have your food truck here. You want to check it out independently. You want to make sure the event actually exists. Call the city. There's probably most likely some type of permitting process that events have to go through to get set up. The city would know about it. If it's something to do with like a car dealership, they're going to be having some big sales event. Call the car dealerships. Talk to somebody at those places. You do the legwork to verify the event actually exists before you send them a penny. Then if you are going to send them a penny, you want to make sure that it's through a credit card, that if they decide to disappear, you got a reasonable chance of getting your money back. You don't want to send it through a person-to-person system, and that would be like Cash App or some of the things that PayPal's able to do. They say, hey, please send it this way. This is how we're going to collect our money. And you say, no, I want to send it through a legitimate source where I have the opportunity for recourse in case you're a scammer. A legitimate event is going to have a bank account set up. They're going to be able to process credit cards. They're going to want to give you many ways to send them money, and all of those ways for you to send them money gives you the recourse in case they are a scammer. We see these pretty much daily. You also see them in a lot of Facebook groups, especially the ones that are not very well monitored. And it will say, we've only got 3 spots left. Sign up now. Well, if they've only got 3 spots left, why are they running an ad? If the event was such a big deal that people want to be there, they'll sell those spots or they'll lease those spots without a problem. They don't need to post an ad. Hurry up, sign up now. Send me the money today. It's about to go away. If it's really about to go away, they don't need to place an ad. They don't need to create their own problem of having 15 people sign up for 3 spots. That's not how marketing works. Their goal is to get you to feel like, oh my God, this is a great opportunity and I can't afford to miss out. So I'm going to send them this little teeny tiny fee because it's only a little teeny tiny fee. Then you send them money and figure out that, oh, they're scammers. There was never an event to begin with. Scammers want to create urgency. They want to create, we got to have the money now. They want it to sound like it's such an awesome deal. It's only $50. Come on. Don't fall for it. Now, the last little thing I want to talk about is that psychology I was telling you at the beginning of the episode. And this is talking about taking photographs and what the angle within the photograph represents. Upward angles convey power. Downward angles convey a lack of power. A person seems weak with a downward angle. People seem powerful when the angle is shot upward. Products seem more powerful with upward angles. Even a mundane product like white rice, when the angle was shot upwards, people felt like there was something more to it. It was more powerful than when the camera was above the rice pointing downward. It looked mild and pitiful. So what you can do, if you're talking about, I have the best, biggest burger in the city, you want to shoot it in such a way that the camera is below pointing up towards that burger. So now it makes it look bigger. So when someone views it, they go, wow, that is a big burger. If you want to make something seem inexpensive, irregardless of what the price is, shoot it at a downward angle. You know, here is our dessert. Okay, it's a small dessert because we're shooting it at a downward angle. So the camera is looking at the product from above, shooting downward. So now it diminishes the product. Ooh, there's got to be less calories in that. That's pretty inexpensive for that product because it seems smaller. It seems less likely to make us gain a few pounds. If you want someone to think it's easy and convenient, shoot it in a downward angle. Imagine your food truck. Get somebody to give you a few aerial shots. It makes you seem more convenient, easier to control, easy to use. You're there, you're available. It's portable. And that's very important. Downward angles imply it's portable. The product seems lighter and smaller. Again, shooting a dessert from a downward angle, it seems lighter. It seems smaller. Sustainable products will seem softer or natural when they're shot from above. Now, when you want to use upward angles, you want the product to seem powerful. You want it to seem luxurious. You want it to seem like it has a high status. So no matter what your signature product is, shoot it in a way that it seems bigger because it's your signature. You want people to notice that it's got high status because you want to buy this food because it's awesome. Whenever you shoot someone from, again, an upward angle, they seem like an authority. So when you're talking about your food, don't have the camera looking directly at you at eye level. You want to be a little bit below shooting upward so that you seem like you know what you're talking about. Hey, come try our food. This is awesome food. That kind of thing. Just imagine the people that you go to seminars. They're on a stage, which makes you looking up at them. Why it works? Because when we're children, think back to when you were little, and there's the key word, little. You had to look up at your mom and your dad or your teachers or the principal. You had to look up at the coach because you were littler. All of those people had authority over you in some way, shape, or form. So in your brain, you've gotten into the habit of when I look up at things, they're in charge. They're authority figures. They are the ones that exert power over me and tell me what to do and what not to do. And that comes all through your formative years. So when you become an adult, whether you even reach that 6'5 height to where now you're the one looking down at a lot of people, your brain has still been taught that when you see that upward angle, those things are more powerful, they're bigger, they have authority, and it's something you won't ever get out of. So there you have it. The goings on around the country in the last week, and then a tip on how to photograph your food and how to position your food when you're doing displays so that the food either seems bigger than life, or maybe we help make it a little bit smaller so that people will see more value in it.
Thank you so much for listening to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. If you're finding all the information helpful to your food truck business, please become a monthly supporter of the podcast. Just hit the support button or follow the link in the description. Every little bit does help keep us going. Join our Facebook group. It's called Food Truck Training. We have a whole bunch of awesome members at all different levels, from brand new beginners to decades old veterans. They've all got your back when it comes to helping you with your food truck. And again, thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow because you know I got plenty more to say when it comes to helping you and your food truck business grow.